Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 13 from Canto 1, Chapter 10.
Sarve te nimishair akshais
tam anu druta chetasaha
mikshandha sneha sambaddha
vichelus tatra tatraha
sarve te nimishair akshais
tam anu druta chetasaha
vikshandha sneha sambaddha
vichelus tatra tatra
Translation: all their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. Isn't that poetically beautiful? All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is naturally attractive for all living beings because he is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. He alone is the maintainer of the many eternals. This is stated in Katha Upanishad. And thus, one can obtain permanent peace and prosperity by revival of one's eternal relation with him, now forgotten, under the spell of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once becomes freed from the illusion of material energy and becomes mad after the association of the Lord. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by association with his name, fame, form and quality. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. End of purport. Sarve tini mishair akshais tam anudruta chetasaha. Hearts melting on the pot of attraction.
Vikshanta sneha sambadha vichelus tatra tatraha.
All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. So these are, with the description, is the hearts or the residents of Hastinapur, particularly the Pandavas and their immediate associates, as Krishna is preparing to depart. So as Prabhupada is saying, Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us to a certain place. The place is loving attraction for Krishna. And that natural loving attraction for Krishna is now forgotten or covered by Maya. And as a result, unfortunately, we repose the natural tendency for loving attraction upon something else. The something else as using Prabhupada's language, has so many permutations and combinations. So much variety of false shelters and false objects of affection. The world is filled. And under the name of literature or cultural presentations of art and drama, godless civilization takes those finer sentiments and reposes them on illusory objects and further bewilders the conditioned soul. And they become mad because the expectation of happiness is ever elusive, and instead the experience of varieties of suffering are the plight of that misfortunate soul. Isn't it so? So Vyasadeva is a literature Srimad Bhagavatam is a literature composed by the literateur Vyasadeva. He saw that, because we know from earlier chapters. He saw that. He saw the age of Kali coming, and he wanted to do something about that suffering condition that we just described. And so he used that gift which he had, which was composition, being a literary person. Different persons have different ways of responding to recognizing that plight. But Vyasadeva then compiled the Vedas and still felt dissatisfied and received instructions from Narada how to feel fully satisfied, which is instruction for us how to feel fully satisfied. And he composed Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're hearing in this purport the way to come to that position of full satisfaction, or where our hearts are melting on the pot of attraction, is association with the Lord. Because the residents of Hastinapur, the Pandavas in particular, they not only had his association, but they had deep affection. I read those different premapara bhakti. They were impelled. They couldn't help themselves. Just like a person that has some addiction problem, or a romance, or somebody that's mad after money, the object of fascination, and their mind is just locked on that something. They can't help themselves. They're drawn to that object. Just a little appreciation on the side. It's related to Vrindavan and preparing for Vrindavan. The so-called husband of Radharani, Abhimanyu, along with the other residents of Vraja, he was a cowherd. But his attraction was like that of a worldly Vaishya. He calculated things in terms of wealth. There are other considerations, but that was at the top. So he had a friend, Govardhan Mala. Govardhan Mala was the husband of Chandravali, as he was the so-called husband of Radha. And he really liked that Govardhan Mala was rich. So he was always like
comparing himself to Govardhan Mala and wishing that Radha would do things because the wife can bring us a prosperity into the family by her good practices and piety and so on. So here's a little leela, a pastime from Vrindavan. Abhimanyu, using the vernacular, he was fried. He was hearing all these stories, especially from his mother and his sister, that Radharani is always up to mischief with Krishna. So he said, he decided, in consultation with his mother, let's leave Braja. Let's go to Mathura. Let's get away from this opportunity for Radha and Krishna to get together. But because he had Vedic culture, he went to Purnamasi. Purnamasi is the mother of Sandipani Muni in Leela, and her identity is she's Yogamaya. So he went to Yogamaya and said, is it advisable to leave, take Radha out of Braja and go to Mathura? Purnamasi said, these are just rumors. You can't let your mind be disturbed by rumors. Do you have any convincing evidence? You find some convincing evidence and bring it to me, and then we can talk. But you shouldn't leave Braja. Not based on rumors. So Abhimanyu said, well, let me consider. But I have this other idea. Govardhan Mala is rich, and I'd like to be rich too. And one of the ways that I understand he's become rich is that his wife Chandravali regularly worships Gauri. So what do you think of Radha regularly worshiping Gauri? And Purnamasi said, very good idea, very good idea. Radha should worship Gauri. So he came back home, consulted with Jatila, his mother. Purnamasi says we should stay in Braja, but she liked the idea of Radha worshipping Gauri. Yes, Radha should worship Gauri. We should become rich. So Radha is given the instruction from her husband, so-called husband, to go worship Gauri. And there's a temple of Gauri, well, there was a temple of Gauri, along the side of Govardhan Hill, along the west side of Govardhan Hill, about halfway. So Radha went to worship Gauri. One of Krishna's parrots was spying, and Krishna's parrot went to Krishna and told him, Radha's going to the Gauri temple. So Krishna surprised Radha and confronted her as she was about to gather flowers to go worship Gauri. And there's a long episode in this narration of Krishna saying challenging things and Radha saying, I'm going to worship Gauri, and just please leave me alone, and kind of that feisty conversation. So Krishna left and she started gathering flowers. Meanwhile, Katila heard that Krishna and Radha are mixing together over at Gauri temple. Abhimanyu was furious and said, come with me, Jatila and Katila. We'll catch them red-handed. Purnamasi said, if we can get direct evidence, then she'll support us. Let's go. So the three of them went. And the message came. Abhimanyu and Jatila, Katila are coming to catch Radha and Krishna. So Krishna consulted Vrinda. Vrinda said, I've got a perfect solution. I've got a Gauri disguise. I'll dress you up in the Gauri disguise and you just stand in front of the Gauri deity. I'll take care of the rest. So Krishna was standing there in front of the Gauri deity And Abhimanyu came and saw, oh, Radha's worshipping Gauri. Everything seems to be all right. Vrinda, tell me, what is it that Gauri was asking, that Radha was asking as blessing? What was it she was praying for? Was she praying for wealth? Because that's his meditation. And Vrinda said, that wasn't it, but I don't want to tell you. It's very, very horrible. What is that? What's that? What's horrible? Well, some calamity is about to happen to you. And Radha was praying to Gauri to relieve you of that calamity. What calamity? What's about to happen? And then Gauri spoke. The calamity that's about to happen is so horrible, I don't even want to say. What is it? What is it? What is it? I cannot tell. It is inauspicious to be a messenger of bad news. But Vrinda knows. Vrinda, what was it? What was said? Well, I don't want to say it either, but because Gauri has told me, Kamsa is coming in 2 days. And he's going to cut off your head and offer your head to Lord Shiva as a sacrifice. No, no. And Jatila and Katila and start wailing. And Abhimanyu says, certainly, Gauri, you can do something. Please help me. Please do something. And Radha, catching the message, she falls at the feet of Gauri and, please spare my Swami. She's meeting Krishna. Spare my Swami, please. And Gauri, who is Krishna, says, well, normally I'm not interested at all in the prayers of great yogis and sages, but you are so chaste and faithful to Krishna that I feel obliged. I can rescue your husband. I can rescue Abhimanyu, but on one condition, that you regularly come and worship me. And that means you should never leave Vraja. And Radharani turned to Abhimanyu and said, yes, yes, I promise. We'll never leave Vraja. We'll never leave Vraja. I promise. And Jatila said, we promise. We'll never leave Vraja. And Vrinda Devi then said, just see, you've heard from Gauri that not only is Radha perfectly chaste, but she's the benefactor. She, by her devotion, she is giving you protection, so you should never, ever again question her propriety and her actions. Yes, yes, I promise. Jatila, let us go back at home at once and absolve all the plans of going to Mathura. We'll stay in Vraja, and Radha can always serve Gauri very nicely. So when we go to Vrindavan, it's a little out of the beaten path, but at least we'll make reference to the Gauri Kund. Now there's no longer a Gauri temple, but Gauri Kund is there. Very, very, very simple. I mean, so simple, it's amazing. But this pastime of Radha and Krishna took place. So even in Krishna's association, one may not recognize who he is. But because we're guided by the disciplic succession, taking this message from Lord Chaitanya, taking this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're getting the opportunity, although we're also steeped in an atmosphere of Maya, and we have our own little brand and variety of Maya, things that we're attached to, and the affinity for enjoying matter that just comes natural to us by our conditioning. each a little different from the next person. And together it's a whole concert of affinity for enjoying matter. But at the same time, in our heart of hearts, there's some attraction for Krishna. And hearing the holy name, we can, by association with the message, I'll read it again. The message is very nice. It's so nice. One can obtain permanent peace and prosperity by revival of one's eternal relation with him, now forgotten, under the spell of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once becomes freed from the illusion of material energy and becomes mad after the association of the Lord. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, like the Pandavas, but also association with his name, fame, form, and quality. Srimad Bhagavatam trained the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection. What's that stage of perfection? It's in the verse where one's heart is melted on the pot of attraction for him. How? By his association. How? By the process of hearing. Either two or three lectures, I can't recall for sure, I heard Prabhupada say, some people say, because I also hear it sometimes, some people say, oh, how unfortunate I am, I'll never get Krishna's association. Arjuna was able to hear Krishna speaking directly, but I'll never get the chance to hear Krishna directly, so how can I become Krishna conscious? No, Prabhupada would say. Because by hearing, Krishna says to Arjuna, Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. By hearing Krishna speaking to Arjuna, Krishna is directly speaking. One can directly associate with Krishna in that way. And then he would say it again, and then he would say it again. Like, you know, make sure you understand this message. Because we can directly associate with Krishna by hearing Krishna's message. And the best way for hearing Krishna's message is when it's repeated in disciplic succession. So Prabhupada would say, when the spiritual master says, surrender unto Krishna. It's the same. It's Krishna speaking to Arjuna, surrender unto me. And then he would say it again. It's the same. It's Krishna speaking through a mouthpiece. But it's the mouthpiece is the person behind the mouthpiece. The sound is Krishna speaking. It's very important. It's a way that we can directly associate with Krishna. So what we're doing right now, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, is we're associating with Krishna. Although someone is a speaker and Prabhupada translated, and there's our acharya, line of disciplic succession acharyas that made the commentary, and it, you know, goes back and back, and Shukadeva Goswami, and you know, it's Krishna's lila, and we're being taken there through this process of sound vibration. Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Padma Purana, is Krishna. It's the literary incarnation of Krishna. Krishna in a literary form. It's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. After Krishna departed, he appeared again as this Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And it's churning, it's cleansing the Maya contamination, but it's churning the affection for Krishna in nectar of devotion. There's a science to it all. Just without the whole nectar of devotion class, the qualities of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the relationships of Krishna, what we're hearing here in this verse, this is just first canto, we're just getting started. These are, it's called Udipan.
Udipan means stimulations for ecstatic love. The kind of loving dealings that Krishna has with his devotees and hearing about it as it's so poetically and eloquently and beautifully described. That's why it's Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful Bhagavatam. It stimulates ecstatic love for Krishna. The residents of Hastinapur, the associates of Krishna, because they're in direct contact with him in ways we heard in yesterday's verse, so intimately connected with him, it increases the temperature of the melting pot. It increases their affection. Naturally so, when we associate with a lovable person, our affection for that lovable person increases, affection increases, feelings increase. So how do we, once again, you know, I'll never get a chance like Arjuna did. No, the opportunity is available immediately. Just reach out through the process of hearing and discussing and remembering and sharing with others and appreciating and through sound vibration, especially with like-minded persons who want their affinity or their affection to go to Krishna. And it doesn't, the affection that goes to Krishna doesn't mean, oh, I don't care about anybody else, anything else. The sambandha gyan is to see the everybody else and everything else in relation to Krishna, because Krishna is the source of everything and everybody. We've forgotten that. And that, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is maya, forgetting sambandha gyan, the relationship with everything, with Krishna. So what's the solution? Connect with Krishna. Sneha sambandha. Connect with Krishna with affection. How? Associated with those that have affection. And it can even just begin with the hearing process. Because otherwise, this is Prabhupada describes in chapter 7 of this canto, there's in 6 as well, there's literatures, cinema, and all of the other forms of so-called entertainment that stimulate something else. Isn't it? Crime and violence and sex and intrigue and, you know, politics and murder, and that's what sells. So they use that to make money because people want it. And it's in your face. And it's not just in the face in the West. It's in your face all over the world. I mean, I'll just share 2 things. Maybe 15 years ago, I was traveling to some place by train to go visit a place, and it was in a remote, without the name of the place. It was a remote place. So when I got off the train, I noticed one young boy sitting there looking at a pornography book in public, just sitting there going through page after page of pornography in the waiting lounge, for he was waiting for his train to depart as I was arriving. I was shocked. That wouldn't go on in the West, but in a little small place in India, you know, shamelessly stimulating God knows what in his body and his mind. And, you know, it's the grain of rice in the pot. This is, you know, a remote place, not like a big city. You know, one would think less contamination in a remote place, little place. No. Anyway,
I'll be quick. One other example is I had a plan to visit Tirupati. So the arrangements were made that I would fly to Chennai, go by commercial vehicle, like taxi or something, to the train station, and then a chair car to Tirupati. So, you know, off I went. And what I saw in Chennai, that place that I had visited not so long ago, has changed so drastically. There were huge billboards all over the place with half-clothed ladies advertising soap and toothpaste. You know, and it's like street level, like practically half a block long, just like just a little bit above car level, like in your face. What happened? And then going in the train, you know, with people going to the holy place, Tirupati. And in the front of the car were young boys and girls doing young boy and girl things, practically partying right on the train on the way to Tirupati. And the old people were like, you know, pretending it wasn't happening, and I'm sure they were as shocked as I was, but I was shocked. These are people going to the holy place, what to speak of what they do the rest of the time. Abominable. Let me out of here. Where are we going? So, how to draw that affinity away from such things? Media isn't going to help us do it. The devotees have to be a little proactive, like, you know, lots of sankirtan and preaching and harinam and book distribution and giving Krishna. I mean, it's their benefit and our benefit also to do like that. To create a dynamic where the receiving of transcendental messages is readily available, abundantly available. People don't have to go out of their way to find it. It's there. That's our service to our brothers and sisters, our fellow human beings on this earth planet. It's another way of saying it is Lord Chaitanya and his associates breaking open the storehouse of love of God and profusely distributing the contents because it was too much for them to consume, so they gave it away, and as they did so, the contents increased and increased and increased. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the source of the nectar, the sweetness, is this message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, minimally, in our own association, relish the topics, go very deeply, because it's churning our attraction for Krishna. And as the attraction for Krishna becomes stimulated, the attraction for those other things just pales. It's unattractive. But in the absence of light, a little firefly moving around in the darkness looks like light. This is the medicine. This is the means for this age of Kali to restore our original Krishna consciousness and take us back to Braja. Here it's Hastinapur, but it's the drama. Just take the Puranic episode. Krishna is leaving Hastinapur to go to Dwarka. That's the event. But Bhagavatam is taking us into the hearts of the residents of Hastinapur as they're experiencing Vipralamba Bhav, a deepening of their affinity for Krishna in their hearts that are melted on the pot of attraction for Krishna, anticipating Krishna's departure, and they don't know what to do with themselves. They're physically moving hither and thither, restlessly, because they don't want Krishna to leave. But he's going to leave. And they don't want Krishna to leave. What do you do? How can you stop Krishna? But their feelings are stimulated, And if we can appreciate that kind of love that's pure as the residents of Hastinapur had, such pure love for Krishna, it attracts our hearts. It stimulates that love within our heart. And it's helping to prepare us for the 10th canto, or the intimate association of Krishna in this wonderful land of Braja. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Despite hearing Bhagavatam regularly, why does my attraction for crow literature not go away? We're creatures of habit. This is a little bit, this was discussed yesterday evening. Remember the mud at the bottom of a lake or a pond? It has organic material in the mud, and it, as it decomposes or ferments, then gas is produced, and then bubbles come up to the surface of the water like that. So because of our prolonged association with matter, who knows how many lifetimes, countless lifetimes of forgetfulness of Krishna. And with that countless lifetimes of forgetfulness of Krishna come impressions, actions in forgetfulness, impressions, and the impressions are stored as seeds, dormant, seeds that are dormant. And tick, 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 time passes, and a point in time comes when those seeds fructify. And when those seeds fructify, just exactly like we find in Nectar of Devotion, their karma is situated in these four different stages. In this bija stage, and kuta, and aprarabdha, and prarabdha. So we can do the prarabdha karma cleansing program. But beneath, there's this deep tendency for affinity for matter, or the fulfillment of attraction for enjoying matter separate from Krishna due to countless lifetimes of activity. Like the blades, another example is the blades of fan continue to spin even after we shut electricity off, turn the switch off. It continues to spin. That's the reason. So what to do? There's the why, and then what to do. Continue with the process of cultivation, attraction for Krishna through by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. So we keep coming together and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing the topics like that. I just remembered now, there's one other point I wanted to make. And it's in the first line, Sarvete Animishayar Akshais. This is just like, it's two things. It's the poetry of the Bhagavatam, some appreciation. Prabhupada is translated as a twinkling of the eye. Their eyes were fixed on Krishna. They didn't even blink. Sometimes we hear the unblinking eyes. Their fascination with Krishna was such that even the involuntary motion of the eyes blinking wouldn't take place. And we know that the gopis, they condemned Brahma. What kind of creator is Brahma? He made eyes that blink. And when the eyes blink for that nimesha, we can't see Krishna. So we would honor Brahma as a good creator if he made eyes that didn't blink, so that one can stay fixed upon meditation of Krishna. And in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, it gives a breakdown of different terminology of time. I'm very fascinated by the topic of time, so I'll just go off on it a little bit. Time is one of the five main topics of the Bhagavatam. And it's the one we hear about the least. We hear a lot about karma, the prakriti, the living entity, and Ishvara, but not so much about time. We hear in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, time I am, destroyer of all things. We hear that. But what is this? So time is, has its spiritual position of timelessness in the spiritual world, where time is noticeable by its absence, but there is time. Jiva Goswami says, although time in the spiritual world is eternal by the agency of Yogamaya, there is a sense by Yogamaya influence that time is passing, although there's no time passing. It's just, it's another realm, so we won't try to understand what that other realm is. It's just, it's there. And for the purpose of creation, when Mahavishnu, experiencing all the living entities, within his transcendental body in a dormant state of susupti, he has a desire, a compassionate desire. He wishes that they come again out of this darkness and covered condition into the happy condition of his eternal association. He has that desire. And his internal potency, Rama, so intimately connected with Mahavishnu, she knows his desire. And so she assists him by transforming some of her unlimited potencies for pleasing him to assist him in this particular mission of bringing living entities back to him in the form of her time energy, which is eternal, but then the reflection of that time energy is transferred to the glance by Rama, to the glance of Mahavishnu, in the form of her time energy, or we can say his time energy, but her time energy more specifically. And that time then contacts Pradhan and agitates Pradhan so that the modes become manifest and active and the elements start to differentiate out. But you have to have time in order to have creation. Say it conversely. Without time, you don't have creation. You have to have time for creation. And then time, there's a whole chapter in the Bhagavatam that describes time. And the smallest unit of time, how did the Vedas, anyway, because not by speculation. Time, the smallest unit of time is the motion as of the sun passing over the smallest unit of matter, the atom. That's the smallest unit of time. How do you measure that one? But there's a measurement. And nimesha is so many of those makes a kuta, and so many of those makes a nimesha. A nimesha is 8/15 of a second. Little more than half a second. Like, you know, to blink your eye. Less than half a second. This is animesha. They didn't even blink. In Shikshastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about nimesha also. What does he say? Govinda virahiname. O my Lord, even one nimesha's separation from you seems like such a long period of time. Why? Because when you're attached to someone, separation from that someone seems like forever. There's a description by Rupa Goswami when the cowherd boys were walking through the forest. Sometimes the cowherd boy is here, Krishna's here, and a tree is in between Krishna and the cowherd boy, and Krishna's passing on the other side of the tree. And the passing of Krishna on the other side of a tree seems like the same as the gopis. So many, you know, thousands of years have passed where they didn't get to see Krishna. They're so attached to Krishna. As we are so attached to Maya. So how do we become attached to Krishna? By this process of hearing. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. We're so fortunate. And as Krishna is all attractive, Srimad Bhagavatam is so attractive, and so if we consider carefully the words that Vyasadeva has composed Srimad Bhagavatam with, it's so beautiful. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, we'll end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.